what is coming. Tomorrow we start a new week, and if this week is anything like last week, we're going to need all the strength we can get from the Lord. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, go with me if you would to the 24th chapter, the last four verses in this chapter tonight. Psalms 24. Sounds like everybody's pretty much found it. Verse 7 of this 24th chapter of the book of Psalms. David is writing and he says that, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, Selah. And we'll stop reading there tonight and taking our thought from the 8th verse. The question is asked, who is this King of glory? And the answer came, he is the Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. And I'd like to use that for a text this evening. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. That there is no other gods like our God. Down through the ages of time, many folks have had many different gods. But their gods have not been able to do what our God can. They've called upon him as we hear the prophet that mocked him and said, "Where is your God? Is he asleep? Is he on an adventure? Where might he be?" Because their God did not answer, nor did he show up to show what a mighty God he was. But when the prophet called upon his God, our God, the Bible says that he repaired the altar and he called out to God and the fire came down and consumed the altar. We know that there have been many times throughout the Word of God, going back to Israel being in bondage, that when they called upon their God and finally got to where God could use them, he showed what a mighty God he was. When he come there to the Red Sea and Pharaoh and his mighty army was behind them, Moses said unto them, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." What Moses was saying is, stand still and see what a mighty God we serve. And God parted the water, and not only did they pass through on dry ground, but when they came out the other side, they didn't even have mud upon their shoes. Same thing with when they come to the River Jordan. It was outside of its banks. Man could not have made a way for them to get to the other side. But they called upon a mighty God. Tonight we have lesson after lesson where the Lord showed up and showed what a mighty God that he is to his people. That when he showed up, and used many different things. He used angels to fight his battles for the behalf of his people. And one of my favorite scriptures is where that he sent the bees in to deliver the children of God. The hornets that came. And we need to remember Brother Wayne tonight and Sister Checky. I pray for him. Ask God to be with them because I don't know what's wrong, but God does. We serve a mighty God tonight, church. He's not just a so-so God, but he is a mighty God. There is no other God like our God. And David said, if we will open our gates, in other words, if we will open our hearts, the King of glory will come in and show what a mighty God he is. I don't know about you, but just when I think that God can't do anything else to show any more strength than what he has, he makes a way somehow to show up and make a way where there seemeth to be no way. We serve a God that is not restricted by the elements of this world. He is able to speak and change the course of mankind. I know that in the past few weeks that many of us have had to take a look at the things that's going on around us. And as I said the other Wednesday night, that sometimes you just get so angry with everything that is happening. And you wonder what you could do to change the outcome. But today God laid it upon my heart. The Lord is not sitting in heaven and saying, wringing his hands and saying, what should I do? God knows what is happening. And he is mighty enough to change the course of everything that is going on. The Bible says and teaches us today in the book of 2 Corinthians in the 10th chapter. It tells us, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We are in a war like we have never been before. The devil is raging, and you and I don't have the strength to bring the devil down. But we know a man that is mighty in power. We know a man that is able to fight our battles and to give us the victory that we as his people stand in need of. Not that I or you might be lifted up, but that the King of glory would be lifted up and praised for what he has done. When I think about how mighty of God that we serve today, all I have to do is go back. And many of us tonight, have had battle after battle along this journey. How many of you know that it's like you get out of one battle and you're right into another one? You get out of one sickness and you're right into another one. One thing comes up and you think it can't get no worse than this, and that one subsides, and then something even greater comes along. And if we're not careful, we will try to fight these battles by ourselves. We'll try to take it upon ourselves, and knowing that we aren't strong enough to fight the battle that is before us. Tonight, I want to encourage the church that we need to be like David of old and say, Lord, the battle's not mine, but I give it to you. That sickness that you have, that sickness that Brother Wayne has and that many others are suffering through tonight, what we need to do is say, Lord, I don't have the answer, but I know that we serve a mighty God that is able not just to show up. I used to preach that if God would just show up and touch the infirmities that we are going through, that we would see a great difference in our lives. But then I was reminded of the scripture where the Bible teaches us he does not have to come down and touch us, but he just speaks the word and he puts the enemy on the run. He speaks the word because the enemy knows what a mighty God he is. And Satan knows that God's not always going to sit back and take what is happening in our world and in our lives. He knows that there is a God that's sitting on a throne in heaven that is mightier than he is. In fact, if we go back in time, we'll find that Satan, no doubt, thought that he had Jesus when they committed him to be crucified. He thought, surely we have this child that we have been warring against even before he was born. But look at this. Even before he was born, God was fighting battles on his behalf. And we see that Satan thought, no doubt, we've got him. He's going to be crucified and we won't have to worry about him. But what a mighty God we serve. That on the third and appointed day, the stone was rolled back. Not that he could get out, but that we could look in and see he's alive. And he's alive forevermore. We serve a mighty God. I made mention, Brother Lloyd, I believe it was on Wednesday night, we serve a God that they saw in the times of our forefathers as that great stone rolling down through Babylon, tearing down the kingdoms of this world. Can I put this in tonight? He's done it before, and he can do it again. Just when we think Satan has exalted himself so high, if we will call upon our God, we will see God come down and make Satan, put him on the run, and we will get this the victory in this spiritual warfare. Satan's not coming after you personally. He's not coming after you in a part of the nature. What he's doing is he's coming against us in the spiritual realm to try his best to tear us down. Do you know the depression is one of the top things in our country that affects people? You know what he does? He gets in your mind and he begins to play with you and tell you all kinds of things. Has Satan ever told anybody else that nobody likes you? Right? Has he told anybody else they don't need you? Or they don't want you? You know what Satan does? He tries to get in and just start something small and watch it fester and sit back and laugh at it. And when those things happen, what we ought to do is call upon God and say, Lord, help us to open our doors. Help us to open our gates that you might come in as the King of glory in our life. God wants to fight your battle. God wants to help us tonight. He is not a God that just wants to use his power every once in a while. But you know why he don't use it as often as he can? It's because we don't let him. We think we've got it under control. And every time I thought I had it under control, looking back, I was just allowing the circumstance to get worse instead of getting better. When we finally commit it into the hands of God, you know, God said that he heard the people cry down in Egypt. For 400 years, he heard their cries. He heard their tears as they cried out to the Lord. But until they got serious with God, to where they got down and they wanted to be delivered more than anything else, God could not work for them. But when they got to that place in their life, to where that they was tired of being abused, they was tired of being in slavery, they was tired of being away from the Lord, when they got to that final point, God sent Moses down to deliver them. My God will send a Moses by our way. Not a physical man, but the spiritual man that will come by our way and fight our battles and give us the victory. Because we do serve a mighty God. He's not just a God. He is the only God that is able to do the things that he does. Muhammad can't do them. He's still in the tomb, Sarah. He's still there. There's Buddha can't do it. He's still in the tomb. No other God that this world has ever had can do the things that our God does. And when you think that you've just seen what you think is the greatest thing ever performed by God, that's when he's able to come by and do something even greater. The greatest thing that God ever did for me was when he saved my dying soul. It took a mighty God to do that. Because you see, I had to be broken. I had to get to the point to where I had tried to fight the battles and I thought that I was okay. But when he came down and broke my heart with a contrite spirit, it showed me how broken I really was. We've got folks that are broken, and they don't even realize they're broken. But God is able to show up and reveal to them how broken that they are. And he's the only one, church, that is able to put our lives back together. You know, and I'm not preaching against counselors. I'm not preaching against programs. But I am preaching tonight that if people, if we would just give it to God and let God do the work, He is mighty enough, He is strong enough, and He wants to help us if we will just give it to Him. But we hold on to it. How many of you tonight, you don't have to say amen or you don't have to raise your hand. But how many of us are holding on to things because we think we can take care of it? We think we got it, and just a little slight movement, we think it's getting better. You know, the devil will put a facade in front of you. He'll make you think everything is all right so that you will forget about it and maybe even move on. But you know what happens? The situation only gets worse and worse. But if we would give it to God, He is mighty enough to take care of it. If we would trust Him that much. We trust Him with our soul. Why can't we trust Him with everything else in our life? We serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God who is the Lord, our provider. Look at every one of us tonight. God has provided well for us. Everything we've ever had need of, God has made sure that it's taken care of. We serve a mighty God that is a great healer. Just look around us tonight. How many of you know that it was the mighty hand of God that healed your sickness in the time of devastation in your life? I hold on to these precious memories because I know tonight there is no doubt in my mind that it had to be God that showed up and spoke a word of deliverance to our people that have gone through such grave things in their lives. And the moment that they give it to God, He's able to show up and provide what it is that we have need of. He's a great Savior tonight. He is a mighty Savior. I want you to remember this tonight. When we did not have the strength to pull ourselves out of the pit of hell, it was God that reached down and pulled us out, set our feet upon a solid foundation, established our goings, and gave us a purpose in life that we might see others come to know Him before it is too late. And you say, that's the God of yesterday. He is still the God of today. And if the sun comes up tomorrow, He will still be God tomorrow. In fact, He's God of eternity past, and He's the God of the future as well. No other God like our God. If there was tonight, we would be looking for a God that could do even greater things than what our God can. But there is no God that can do what our God can. And yet, as mighty as He is, He's still small enough to speak peace to my soul and my heart. I tell you, He is a mighty God. When we humble ourselves before Him and we worship Him, we live right, we do everything that we should, He is a mighty God. But you know also, there's a time that God turns His back on us. Look at Israel. Look throughout the whole scriptures. There's times that God turns His back on His people and does not exhibit His power and His might. And the only reason why God ever did that is because His people turn their backs on Him. When we turn our back on God, sometimes I think it's almost like a parent. God says, okay, you're on your own. Let's see you get out of this one. And you know what we end up doing? We end up going back and saying, Lord, I need Your help. Look at the times that God turned His back on Israel. Whenever they sinned against God, He said, you're on your own. And from Malachi to Matthew, 400 years that there was not a word from God. Because God's people had gotten so far away from, you know what they got caught up in? They got caught up in religion. You read the Bible. What they was doing was offering up sacrifices that wasn't fit to be offered. And they began to hide things. And God turned his back upon them. Folks, I believe that we are in a time right now that God has every right to turn his back upon our country, upon our people. But you know, I pray, Lord, there's still a few of us that call upon your name. There's still a few of us that know what a mighty God you are. And there's still a few of us that can't make it without you, Lord. If you turn your back upon us, what's going to happen? And I believe that there's a few others that's concerned as well. Because you see, God owes us nothing. We owe God everything. He is mighty in his power. Not just using it for good, but he's mighty in power using it against evil. And has anybody else ever been chastised by God? You know, I thought when Mom and Dad whipped us that there was probably no one else that ever had a whipping like we had. But then, through the years, I've experienced a few from God. And you know, there is nothing that hurts like being chastised from God. You know why? Because God knows how to get right to your heart. And he gets you in a way that you think, oh Lord, I'm so sorry. Can you restore? That's why I believe David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. He knew. It wasn't God's fault that he lost it. It was his fault. But the only way he would get it back is if a mighty God would restore that joy back to his heart and his life. Tonight, the world is making fun of our God. They're making fun of him and saying, no doubt he's lost his power. Some of them have this vision that God is an old, crippled up man sitting on a throne in heaven and may even be at the point of being senile. And they mock him. But God has not aged like we age. God, he said, his hand has not been shortened that he cannot touch. Neither has his power diminished. I just wonder how much longer it's going to be before God says, let me exalt my power and go and show what a mighty God I am. But when he comes, church, what scares me is that how many people be left behind to suffer the consequences. And this is the part that really is illuminated in my mind, is that many will be church members that won't get to go home. Many will be good people, good men and women that won't get to go home to glory. And you say, if God is such a mighty God, why don't he just save everybody? Because God said, it's a whosoever will way. You come and I will save you by his grace. But they reject him. The world doesn't want a living God. They'd rather have these dead gods. Look around us. They think that they're getting by with something. How many of us growing up thought we was getting by with something, only to find out Mom and Dad knew about it all along? Somebody confess on a Sunday night. And you know, I remember one time we, as the boys, we got in trouble with Dad and Mom. And we were younger. And you know, when we got home from church, what we did is we went straight to bed. And we thought Dad would forget about it. And we was about asleep. We thought, man, we got by with one now. But then the lights came on. And the covers went down. And then the screaming started. You ever notice that tonight? Whenever there's a whipping, the screaming starts before the first belt hits. There's going to be some screaming, folks. In fact, the Bible says in the book of Revelations that they'll cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them to hide their face from His appearing. But there'll be no hiding place. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty God. His power has not diminished one iota. He knows those things that you have even forgotten about, God knows about. Right? Those things that you want to brag about, God says it wasn't that good. Because really, we don't have anything to brag about. You know, the only thing we have to brag about is that I am a sinner that's been saved by the grace of God. And I'm on my way to heaven. That's it. Many years ago, God gave me this thought and I shared it with the church, and I still believe it with all my heart. If we took away all the blessings that God has given to us, we would have nothing. Nothing. But He's a mighty God. He doesn't want to see His children suffer. He doesn't want to see us just barely make it through. God wants us to have a vibrant life, a good life. And as soon as He blesses us, it's almost like we can't wait to go and try another one of these gods in this world. And there are many gods in this world. And people are worshiping all kinds of gods that cannot hear, cannot see, cannot touch, instead of serving a God who has the facilities to take care of everything that we stand in need of. I don't know where I'd be without God. Yes, I do. I'd be a sinner headed to hell for eternity. When I wasn't strong enough or big enough, it has always been God that showed up. Even when mom and dad couldn't take care of it, God took care of it. When the job or Becky or the kids, when no matter what the situation is, when we call upon God. Gilbert, has He not been there to help us? He is a mighty God. There is nothing that my God can't do. He's built kingdoms. He's destroyed kingdoms. Right? Because they came against Him. And one day, maybe very soon, the world is going to see what a mighty God He still is. When He sends His Son in the clouds of glory, they're going to see the one that they've heard about. They're going to see the one that we've tried to tell them about. But it'll be too late. Too late. He said He would say unto them in that day, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. And just like in the days when Noah built the ark, once the door was shut, there was no getting on board. It was too late. It wasn't Noah that shut the door. It was the mighty hand of God that shut the door. And let me preach this and then I'll close. The church today, the doors are wide open. Salvation doors are wide open. But one day, God's going to shut the door. And when He shuts the door, no matter how loud they cry, no matter how loud they plead, it'll be too late. He is a mighty God. And we are a mighty people. You say, how can you say that? Who do we serve? We have more power than the devil's people do. I know that current events may say contrary to that. But you know what I say? Not everybody that carries a Bible is a born-again child of God. Not everybody that goes to church. In fact, I said it like this to a guy at work. The whole East Coast is pretty much Catholic. And how in the world, with the stance that the Catholic Church has against abortion, did this get pushed through in New York? I don't understand it. And you know what it comes down to? A lot of people sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," but they also sing, "Oh, how I love this world." And you can't have both. The Lord said, "You're either with me or you're against me." And folks, and I'm not being judgmental, it's the Word of God. Not everybody that says, "Lord, Lord," is going to enter in on that day. Because they don't know this mighty God. He is not the King of glory in their heart and their life. And my desire is that everybody would come to know Him. And that we would start acting like Christians. Living like Christians. And even voting like Christians. You say, "Roger, you had to put politics in there." Look at the shape our world is in today. Our country is in. It's in the shape that it's in because for too long we've been too quiet. It's time that we tell the world we serve a mighty God. And everyone will answer to Him and not to another. They say, "Don't judge me." It's not us that's judging. It's the Word of God. It's God's Word. And His Word is as powerful as He is. Because He is the Word. And you cannot tear down the Word because God is alive and well. And He's alive and well forevermore. How many of you have a mighty God in your life? Do you call upon Him? Do you seek His help in the needs that come by your way? When the children of Israel were wringing their hands, saying, "What are we going to do?" Some of them would call upon God, and God would come through and deliver them. Folks, He wants to do the same today as He did back then. But we have to call upon Him and ask Him to come down and help us. How many of you believe like I do? We need help today, church. We need help. Spiritual help. Because I read that scripture that the warfare we're in is not against flesh and blood, but it's a spiritual warfare. But there's not many that's fighting. Not many that are fighting. Because many folks that I talk to, they say, "There's nothing wrong with what's going on. There's nothing wrong. Everything is good." The devil has got them blinded to the things that's happening around us. And it's going to take our people and our country to hell for eternity. If we serve a mighty God, then we ought to have some power ourselves. And you know, when I find that I am weak, it's because I haven't trusted in Him like I should. How many of you tonight need strength? Do you know where your strength comes from? It's not my strength. It's His strength. Sometimes, Sister Ruby, some people will say to us, "I don't know how you go. I don't know how you do the things that you do." There's only one answer. I serve a mighty God. I serve a mighty God. And I know Sister Ruby and many of y'all are, as well, serve Him because I see what He does for you. When we can't feel like we can't take another step, God comes by and strengthens us. Folks, we need strength tonight. And I ask why we come to the close of this service that we realize I believe it brings joy to God that people, His people, would call upon Him and say, "Lord, I need Your help. I need Your help," because we're coming before Him and saying, "Lord, I can't do it by myself. I need You to help me." How many of you need His help tonight in a situation in your life? He's a mighty God. Has He not done it before? And will He not do it again? Then we need to call upon Him and ask the Lord to help us. I ask you tonight, we're going to gather in and go, Lord, in prayer, because I'm concerned. I'm concerned that so many people are needing help. And I can't be there. I can't do it, Brother Eli. But I know a man who can. Jennifer has pleaded her heart out with us tonight. She needs a healing. I can't give it. The doctor can't give it. But I know a man who can. My heart is heavy for Brother Wayne that had to leave because of sickness. I hope and pray they make it home safe. Because if it's his diabetes, you don't know what's happening. But I can't be in the car with them and be here. And even if I was in the car with them, I would not have the knowledge to know what to do. But I serve a mighty God. I don't know what some of you are going through. And if I knew, my knowledge of how to fix it would be very small. But I know a mighty God that can take care of it. And just like you, how many of you had praying moms and dads or grandmas or grandpas that called your name out to God for salvation? You know what? You are saved because of their prayers and your obedience unto God. How many of us got lost loved ones? You know what they need? They need to see God like they've never seen Him before. They need to see Him as a mighty God. Not one that's to be reckoned with. Not one that's to be negotiated with. But one that will save them if they'll ask. Or He will be the one that pronounces unto them death eternal. We serve a mighty God, church. And I'm going to close with this final thought. Y'all know me. I get all bent out of shape. All this stuff that's taking place around our country. But then I realized I can't do anything. I am one voice. But I have a connection to a man that can do all things. And the devil is fighting like he's never fought before. And the only way to put the devil in his place is to call upon the name of Jehovah and say, Lord, speak to that need that we have today. We're going to close with an altar of prayer because I believe the need is that great. Jennifer, if you'll come up here and some of you ladies will gather around her, and we're going to pray for Wayne. We're going to pray for Rob. We're going to pray for Brother Terry. I ask that you pray for Becky. We got folks that need a touch tonight. And we got folks that need their desires of their hearts. And I only know one place to take it. And that's to an altar of prayer. Some of us have got kinfolk that's about to drive us crazy with the things that's going on in their lives. Seems like no matter how much we talk, it doesn't get any better. But I pray today, Lord, You're able to show up and speak to them in such a way that will get their attention. You say, Roger, don't pray that prayer. That's the prayer our forefathers prayed. Get their attention. Make the bed so hard and the cover so short until they see that they need to call upon Your name for what they have need of. You say, Roger, don't you love your people? Yes. If you love them, you'll pray for them. And we're going to do that right now. How many of you will come with me as we pray to our mighty God and say, Lord, help us today that we might be able to get the victory in these situations. Dear Lord, I come before You tonight. God, with broken heart. Lord, with so much frustration that we encounter. God, that I know that
It's not against me. It's not against your church, but it's against you that the devil is raging. Lord, even though that we have to suffer the consequences along the journey, Lord, I pray that God, that you would show up. Help us tonight, dear Lord.